Good morning, everyone. Can everyone hear us okay?
Can you hear me?
You can hear him?
Everyone can hear me.
He's got his mic actually turned off at the moment. You can still hear him.
It's just my natural booming tones.
Welcome to Prod 323. My name's Mark Rhodes.
My name is Brian Farnhill.
And we're here to talk to you this morning about automating your Office 365 administration with PowerShell and Azure Automation. So let's have a look around the room. Everyone loves this part. Put your hand up if you're using Office 365 right now.
Good.
Anyone using PowerShell in that group? Right, look
so,
at that.
So good. Yeah.
Anyone using Azure Automation in that group? There we go.
Have we got the session for you?
You sold that well.
I did.
We're going to take you through automating your Office 365 PowerShell scripts with Azure Automation. We've picked out one use case in particular that we think speaks to everyone who has Office 365, and I hope you'll all agree with me. Licensing your users. Does anyone else think that's a bit of a pain if you've got a large user base? That's it. Show of hands. Yep. Is anyone else out there already automating this? Yeah, we've got a few people. That's what we're going to take you through. We're going to start off by introducing you to some of the commandlets that we use in Office 365 to take care of things like your licensing and your user management. And we're going to gradually build those up through the course of a few steps until we get it to the point where it can be deployed in automation. And at that point, I'm going to hand it off to Brian. And Brian is going to deploy it into Azure Automation, and then he's going to show you how to enhance it so you can do some really cool stuff. We're going to show you a bit of Microsoft Flow as well. Yep, to tie into PowerShell. So we're kind of going all over the place with this session. Does that sound like what you'd be interested in seeing?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, that was an enthusiastic 11 o'clock start.
Yeah, there's the people that have late nights.
Okay, so who are we? My name is Mark Rhodes, as I said. I'm a Premier Field Engineer with Microsoft. My focus is on Azure Active Directory. If you'd like to get in contact with me, my email address is conveniently on the screen right now. We'll flash that up again at the end in case you've got any questions. And my Twitter handle is @mrhodes.
My name is Brian Farnhill. I'm also in Premier Field Engineering with Microsoft. I'm based in Canberra. My areas of specialty are around Azure and PowerShell and automation. Again, email address, link to my blog, Twitter account. If you'd like to stalk me online, I kind of like the attention.
Okay, so we talked briefly about the agenda. What we're going to do is we're going to show you managing Office 365 with PowerShell. Now, I imagine this is something that a lot of people in the crowd have some degree of familiarity with. I ask that you stick with us. We're going to go basic level to start with, and then we'll be advancing it very quickly. Okay, so you'll see some interesting stuff there. We're then going to take it those exact same scripts that we've generated and put them into Azure Automation, and we're going to show you what that looks like, how you can spin up a runbook, how you can establish the credentials, and how you can import the MS Online module to manage those bits with PowerShell. And then Brian's going to take you through the integrating Azure Automation with your business processes. So this is where you go beyond just automating a script and make something truly interactive that you can... I'll leave it up to you to...
Yeah, that's still my bit.
So, to kick things off the race, come back over here.
We're doing this, aren't we?
We're doing this.
All right,
so we're going to have a bit of a race here, and that's... we're going to just highlight the differences here. Brian's going to use a web browser and do things manually. I'm going to use PowerShell, and we're going to create a new group, add some sales department personnel to that group, create a shared mailbox for it, give one of the groups full mailbox rights to that group, and see how long it takes for me to do it via PowerShell and him to do it through a web browser.
I feel like this is going to end very well for me.
So you can see that. Wow, look at all those errors I forgot to clear. All right,
here we go.
Ready?
Ready.
Go. I'm done.
Okay. Just because he's done, you want to flick over and show how far I got? There.
I might have cheated. I like it. You know, I had it in a window ready to go, and I had the credentials already set up. You could have caught up, actually.
I could have. I think we both knew where this was going.
Yep. There's not really a point of that. It's just kind of amusing. There's no way that anyone can ever say that automating tasks is going to be slower than doing it through a browser or doing it manually. It's just impossible. So we really encourage people to really automate everything they can. Automate all the things. If you've got a problem where you need to license your users for Office 365, automate that. If you've got a problem where you need to add specific groups into permissions on a mailbox, automate that. There's no limit to what you can do. You know, it's really up to you. And using Azure Automation, you can take all of these wonderful PowerShell scripts and, forgive me for saying so, does everyone here have like a Dropbox full of PowerShell scripts? Yeah? Source control. You can take that, drop them in runbooks in Azure Automation and start using them from there without really having to do much and without having to pay anything. It's a win-win. Is this your session? Would you like to come up here and share with the group?
At least he's using source control. I'm going to high-five him for that later.
Yeah, we had someone here, you guys probably didn't hear, suggest we should use VSTS. I'm an IT pro. Visual Studio is not my thing. All right, we'll
I'll talk about that another day.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about managing Office 365 with PowerShell. The obvious benefit you're going to get out of doing this is automating, for instance, your user management and licensing. That is something that's extraordinarily easy to do, and you can really start doing this with about three lines of PowerShell. Very, very simple to do. You can build up reports based on your usage and consumption. You can do things like create and remove SharePoint sites. That's a great one. Stops people from having to log into a portal. You can build some workflow around an automation script that will provision SharePoint sites to people. You can manage settings relating to Skype for Business. It's not as easy as, say, the on-premises version, but you have a little bit of flexibility in what you can do there. And if you go to powershell.office.com, there are a lot of scenarios that you can jump on right now. And I imagine everyone here is interested in minimizing the amount of time they have to spend on day-to-day tasks, which is the root of this. So going to powershell.office.com, you're going to find things that can help you do that right now. We're also going to be sharing our demo scripts from this session. So where are they going to be?
Every bit of code that you'll see today is sitting on my GitHub repo. We've got a link at the end of the slides. If you want to come and have a chat to me afterwards, I'll give you a business card, and if you get lost, we'll help you out.
All right. We firmly believe that demos are better than slides.
So anyone agree?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, so we pretty much reached the end of this part of the PowerPoint. We've only got 20 slides total, and that includes all the marketing ones, so probably about the right amount. So, let's just kick over to desktop and start some work. So, as I said, what we're going to do is we're going to license users in an Office 365 tenant. Now, when you're doing a PowerShell script, pretty much the first thing you've got to do is look at the problem and break it down into a discrete series of problems. So does anyone want to give me what they think might be some of the problems you might have to, the discrete problems you might have to break this core problem down to if you're licensing users with PowerShell? Anyone want to throw something out? I heard someone say login. Yep, login's one of them. So you've got to log in. What do you have to do before you log in? Import the module. So you've got to import the module, then you've got to log in. What comes after that? If you're licensing users,
get the users.
After you've gotten the users, what are you going to do next? Did someone say set location? Oh, extra points. Yeah, that's a bit of a gotcha. If you haven't set the location, you can't set a license. So we're going to go through and set a location, and then we're going to license the users. Right? It's a pretty simple way to break it down for a very simple version of this script. As I said, the next version of this, and we iterate through a few, will be more complicated. So let's just head straight into ICE. I think everyone can read. Can everyone see this all right? Up the back. Thumbs up. Thank you.
Love it.
All right, so we broke it down pretty easily. We're going to have to import a module, MS Online. Now, it might seem a little bit odd that we're connecting to MS Online when we're really actually connecting to Azure Active Directory, but that's the name of the module, so we'll have to deal with that. Next thing we're going to have to do is connect -MSOL service. So let's just do these two quickly. Okay. Now, just to check we're connected, let's have a look at what we've got in here. Okay. A very quick get -MSOL user, and we'll format into a table.
that has the results in user principal name, usage location, and is licensed. So this would be a fairly typical situation where you've just synchronized a bunch of users from Active Directory, right, and you're going in to license them and set a location. Now, you can see we've got not a single user in here licensed, and only a handful of accounts have a location set. But what we might do quickly is just grab all those users and put them into an object that we can use. And we'll use dash all flag, otherwise if we had more than a certain number of results, it'll get truncated and we won't be working with our full result set. Okay, just to make sure that's working. Yep, we can look at the first object inside of that list of objects, and we can see that we've got print2@mod272526.onmicrosoft.com, the display name, and if it's licensed. That's pretty straightforward. Now, if we're going to go look at licensing, there's something else we need to look at here, and we have to look at the license that's on the actual tenancy, and we can do that by just typing get-msolaccountsku. And you can see in this particular case, I've got two licenses associated with this tenancy. One is the Enterprise Premium, so an E3 license, and the other one is AAD Premium underscore P2, so that's just an Azure Active Directory Premium license. Okay, and if I just pull these back, what I'm just going to do is pull it into an object. Oop. Because this is what I really need to license my users, just that object there, and do this, and have a look at the first object in there. We can see I pulled back mod272526:enterprise-premium. So that's my E3 license that I'll be assigning. Okay, so we'll do a test now before we actually automate any of this, and we'll just try to assign this license just to one user. So set. And we'll just use the first, actually, I'm not going to do that, because that user didn't have one, that'll do that one there. Okay, does everyone get what's happening there? So set-msolUserLicense. The user principal name is going to be, let me just change that. User 1 in our users list, dot user principal name, which will be chris.tg@mroads.net. And we'll add the license, which is the E3 license we saw earlier. All right. Has anyone seen this before? Yeah, a couple of people. This usually gets anyone who's trying to automate or set licenses via PowerShell. As I said, you can't set a license without setting a usage location first. And if we scroll back up a little bit, you can see that very few of these, so this one here in particular, didn't have a usage location set. So we've got to make sure that our script sets that usage location for us. So what we'll do is we're going to... So just... For that user, set-msolUser-usage-location-au. Okay, and we can check that again quickly. If we have a quick look at... Now, as you can see, the usage location isn't showing up. Anyone want to tell me why?
We haven't refreshed the list of users.
Exactly right. We haven't refreshed the list of users. So the object that I'm querying hasn't been updated. So we'll go through and quickly update that again. So users equals get-msolUser-all. Now if we go back up, you can see usage location's been set, which means in theory, if we go back to this particular command that we're going to run, it should license the user now because the usage location's been set. Okay, and we'll just refresh that object one more time. And have a look. Okay, so what we've done there is we've taken that user, we've set a usage location, and you can see it's now been licensed. It's very, very simple to do that. It's really only involved three commandlets we've had to run. So that on its own isn't a script, though, is it? Well, that's pretty useless except for that one user. So if I wanted to, I guess I could, iterate through the array and, change that number one to a number two and do it that way, but that doesn't really help me from an automation perspective. So what I think we should do is take that and turn that into an automation script. Agree with that? Wow, enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Is anyone on this side of the room awake still? Come on, somebody. Oh, man. Left me hanging.
There are prizes for enthusiastic participants.
Yeah!
Okay. There will be no prizes.
The prizes have been revoked.
All right. Let's start it off again. So we know what we really need to do here. We need to get a list of users. We need to get a license. We need to make sure that for every user our location is set, and we need then to make sure that for every user our license is set. It's pretty easy to do that. So let's just build this up quickly. So users, and you notice I'm switching here up into the actual constructive part of ICE. So get all the users. Okay, so let's just look at this quickly. First one I've done is I've said users equals get hyphen msol user hyphen all. So get all the users in the account. Then what I want you to do is I want you to get the license object. So that'll return both of those license that we looked at earlier. Then after that, I want you to get all the users, this is this line here, every user in the account, actually. Then check and see if, and I've typed that wrong, if it doesn't have usage location set, see that little exclamation mark? That's checking to make sure it's not set. And if that's the case, then set hyphen MSL user dash usage location AU. Not the most elegant way to do this, but it'll do for phase two of our kind of script. From there, we're going to need to go into a loop. So we'll say for each user in users, if the user isn't licensed, then we will set hyphen MSL user license using the command we had earlier. By the way, if you guys see me make any typos here, it's on you. Okay, let's have a quick look at that. Right, really basic script there. Does that look good to everyone? Can anyone see any problems with that? No, nothing missing? All right, let's try running it and see what happens. Just clear this off first.
Some elevator music while it's running.
We need to get this guy at the front of microphone.
he's having a great morning.
Actually, while that's running, I'm going to get the next thing ready to go. Okay. Shouldn't take too long to run. I heard someone say the internet is a little bit slow. All right, you can see what's happened there is we've run through all the users there, and it says, unable to assign this license because the number of allowed licenses have been assigned. My guess is that, because it's only popped that error up once, we just hit the cap towards the end. So let's have a look and see by running this next query. Okay, so we're running through here. You can see every one of these users has a usage location set now, right, to AU, except for that one that has US. We don't need to worry about that. And is license is set to true, except for this one user who is false. Now, this is an okay way to do this. It's not great. Anyone want to tell me, just looking at this screen here, what one of the potential problems might be? That's more complicated, but it's true. Can't change it. Exactly. Yeah, we've assigned with this script license to service accounts and service principals. We don't really need to assign a license. You know, those things cost money to accounts that aren't going to use them. So we need to find a better way of doing this. And there's a very simple way to do it, actually. The simple way to do it would be simply to change this script. All right, if we just go back up here. And we add in the domain name, emroads.net. Now, let me just... I probably don't need to run this. You guys will get the idea of this. But... By putting in that simple flag there, it's only ever going to return the user objects that are in the domain mroads.net, which are my synchronized users. Right, if we go back and have a look at this list of user accounts, all the sync account users are on Microsoft.com, or Exchange Online users, or mailboxes, they're all on Microsoft.com. So by simply by adding that flag in there, we've avoided the need to add a whole heap of logic that we didn't really need otherwise. So it's a quick way to get a quick win there. Now, is that script going to suit anyone in this audience for their licensing needs? No? Good answer. I don't think it's good enough either. So we can move into the next phase of the script, which is, I'd like to say, why don't we build in some support for groups? Right? What's an easy way to manage your user accounts on-premises, especially if you're syncing them up to Office 365? You're almost certainly going to have groups. Does anyone not have Azure? Does anyone not have Active Directory groups here? Yeah, it's about what you'd expect. Right? So by adding user accounts into those groups and then writing a script to act on those Active Directory groups, we can license very effectively, especially in a way that your existing help desk or troubleshooting guys will be able to act upon. Right? I'm assuming, is everyone's help desk here capable of adding users into a group?
We were taking notes of every single person that laughed at that one.
We'll take that offline. That's a different problem. All right. Let's go back in here. Now, this one has the potential to screw up, so let's see how we go. All right. First things first. Let's get rid of this users equal. We're going to keep the license in there. And what we're going to do is we're going to add some new stuff. So we'll say group equals... Actually, let me show you something first, because I forgot to do this. So first thing... is let's have a look at the groups I've got in my tenancy. All right, and keep in mind this is a synchronized tenancy from Active Directory running on a machine. You can see I've got two groups here, right? One is called License AAD Premium, and the other one is called License E3. I think those are fairly self-explanatory names that you could use. What we might do is we'll just have a look and make sure. Thank you.
Nothing quite like a live demo.
Okay, so you can see I've got a group called License AAD Premium. That's the one we'll use for this part of the demo. Let's have a look and see what is in that group. So, okay, so you can see inside this group I've got six users. Bunch of users there. What I want to do is license them. Now, currently those users are licensed because if you remember, we just ran through a script that licensed everyone. So I'll just do a quick script I've got here that will reset their licenses back to the way it was. Okay, and while that's running, we'll come in here and we'll add some new stuff. So we'll say group. Apparently I've got a problem typing group. And we'll add another one. So we're getting the group, so get-msol group, where the display name is License AAD Premium. And for the same thing, we'll say group ID, and we'll use the previous object so we don't have to do anything funny. Just like that. And those two together, we should be able to run those now. And just type in... Right, so we've got the members into an object. And that's something we can use for the future when, let's say, a synchronization run happens in the future. Someone gets added into this group. This script is going to be smart enough to pick up the group members and run with those. Okay. We're going to take this out, and what we're going to do is put... See this little bit that sets the usage location for each user? We're going to move that inside a loop that we're going to modify in a second. So let's just take that out of there. And put that in there, and we'll come back to it. Now, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're no longer working with an object called users, are we? So what are we going to have to update that to? Groups. All right. Now, we say if the user is... Oh, thank you. Yep, you're right.
Seeing the audience called it out, I was going to watch him.
Yeah. I'll be submitting feedback on you guys in the end, just to be clear. Okay, next thing we're going to do is we're going to change this one here. And what we'll do is we'll just change this to... So set-msolUser-object-id, because we've got an object ID, it's easy to use that. So that'll set the usage location for each of those users inside the group membership, right? And then we have to update this one as well, right? So because the members object, right, isn't going to include user principal name, but it will include object ID. So it seems easy to just work with that at this stage. Okay, and we'll change this license because we're using the Azure Active Directory license, which, if you remember, was the second object inside the license object, the second license inside the license object. So, in theory, we can run this now. So let's have a look. Actually, let's just make sure, first off, that nothing has been licensed, because otherwise it'll give you... Just make sure that is returning something. Yep, you can see we're back to is license 0. The usage location has already been set. We're going to leave that alone. I'm not going to bother resetting that for the purposes of the demo. And let's try running this. And in theory, this should only license those 6 users, provided I haven't done a typo, that were in that group membership. Hopefully a little bit quicker than the last one. Yep. All right, and you can see now it's returned, is licensed for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so a nice simple way to do it. And if I added on-premises now, if I went onto my machine, my domain controller, and added a new user into that group, ran a synchronization and reran the script, it would pick up that it's got a new user to add. But can anyone see a problem with that script?
If your license types change, you're referring directly to an array.
Well, that's a different problem. That's not the one I'm talking about. Bingo. If that's exactly the problem. If we remove the user from the group, it's never going to deassign that license, right? Which makes the whole thing a little bit kind of pointless, right? It's okay. Yeah. Different combination of different licenses for different products. No, that's exactly right, yeah. It's going to return that it's unlicensed. So there's all kinds of problems with this script. It's a really kind of a rookie script, right? That it will get you into the cloud and get you licensed, but it's not going to solve all your licensing problems. So we've got a bit of a better one. Now, I'm not going to type that out because it was way too long, but I will take you through it quickly. First thing I'm going to do is reset my licenses again and show you the script here. Now, this is one we prepared earlier. This is a more complicated script. So the first thing it's doing is it's looking for all the users in the domain with the domain name mroads.net. It's going to go through and get anyone that's in the group. Sorry, it's going to get a group object for the group with the display name of licensee 3. Sorry, I tripped over myself there. And then it's going to iterate through the groups and look for members inside the group and say for each user, so iterate through the users and look for the group membership, see if it's licensed. If you guys can see that, you probably get the gist of it pretty well. Does everyone understand what this is doing? Anyone not understand? Okay, good. Does anyone ever raise their hand when you say, do you not understand? No. All right. So let's give this one a try. So what this should do is, in theory, it's going to say, if I need to have that user license, it'll add it, and if it doesn't, it'll remove it. So what we might do before we do, now we'll just run that as is. Okay, now this one, you can see it's going through now and it's adding the license for each of those user accounts, right? I'll just let it do its thing. Okay, now you can see not all the users here have been licensed. There's still a few synchronized users who don't have a license set, so Adam B and Alan S. So let's try adding a license to them, right, quickly, which we can do very easily. Okay, and we'll just, wrong one. Let's get to the end here. We'll just confirm that that did add a license to them. So Alan B. Yep, Alan B. and Adam B. Both have licenses associated, and they're not members of that group. So if we go back now to our phase four script here, and we rerun it, so you can see Alan S. and Adam B. were removed from the licenses because they weren't a member of that group. So that I would say is at the point where you could probably use it for an enterprise. Do you guys agree? It's at that point where you could use it for a small organisation. It's not going to fit everyone, but I think for most organisations it's going to be okay. So if we're going to take this, and we're almost at the end of my part of demo here. Yep, he's tapping his watch, so yeah, it's that time. We're going to take this, and what we're going to do is we're going to make this work in Azure Automation. And there's not much we actually have to do. So we're going to have to first off add in equals emroads.net because we need the domain name. We're going to need something called an Azure credential, which Brian will talk about in a sec. And our Azure credential is called mod272526. We're going to need to set a location because the script here uses a location in it, but we've got that stored. Thank you. And we're going to take a credential object with what we've got from the Azure Automation PS credentials, which is where you can store an account up in Azure Automation to use for this kind of purpose. And lastly, that is pretty much it. That's pretty much all we have to do to convert that to something that we could now use in Azure Automation. I think that's probably, like I said, a good entry-level script to start with. You could customize that to whatever level you need for your own business, and we'll make that available for everyone to do. So at this point, I'm going to hand over to Brian, and Brian's going to take Azure Automation and run with it.
We're going to talk about some stuff. So, show of hands, who here has heard about Azure Automation? Fantastic. So, for those of you who haven't heard about Azure Automation, essentially what it is it's a cloud-based automation tool. It allows you to create PowerShell scripts, PowerShell workflows, as well as visual-based flows that you can build in the web browser and have them execute in the cloud. So one of the concepts we're trying to address here is for a script like the one Mark just showed, if you want to be able to go and run that on some sort of repeatable schedule, you're going to need a virtual machine or something somewhere to actually execute that script on, which then means you need to worry about keeping that server there, making sure it's up and that it's always running its script. What we're trying to do with Azure Automation is provide you that kind of concept but as a service so that you can have a highly available infrastructure to run your scripts on without needing to actually maintain a machine to go and run the scripts for you. So it's designed to let you put a number of your automation processes into and execute things to manage both assets in Azure as well as on-premises if you've got appropriate connectors. And you can do things like scheduling and other sorts of triggers. So we're going to take some of the concepts behind the script that Mark started there and talk about how we can leverage the cloud to provide some additional benefit to what we're doing for our Office 365 tenant. So when I say, what is a runbook? Because this is essentially the term for what we put into Azure Automation. We have runbooks. For all intents and purposes, it's a PowerShell script. It's a sequence of events that we will run through in the cloud as just a PowerShell script to be able to go and then execute. For anyone who's been playing around with SMA, like Orchestrator on-prem, the runbooks there, exactly the same concept. We're just applying into the cloud. So this means, though, that we can call any number of PowerShell-based APIs or external APIs within what we're doing. So in this particular example, we'll be leveraging that MS Online PowerShell module, and we'll be able to go through and kick things off from there. So in terms of where Azure Automation actually runs, it doesn't exist in every single one of our Azure data centers. It has availability, so within the APAC region in Southeast Asia, Australia Southeast, Central India, and Japan East. And we've got some of the data centers around the world running it as well. So this is essentially just where your script runs, though. It doesn't limit where you can connect to. for example, there's no reason I couldn't put my Office 365 tenant in Singapore and run my management scripts from America, if that was what I felt I had the need to do. It's just where the actual execution of the script will take place. Now, in terms of pricing for Azure Automation, the great bit is the first 500 minutes each month of what you run on your automation tenant is free. Right, so as long as you're, for example, you wanted to run this script and run it every night, takes a couple of minutes to run, chances are you're not going to go anywhere near that 500 minutes. So you could leverage this service to get this kind of functionality into managing your tenants right now for nothing. Right, and that's a really great place to start. If you do find that you start leveraging automation for a number of other different components, we do start billing at, what are we talking, 2.5 cents per minute of runtime in Australian dollars. In terms of support and SLA, just calling those details out there, essentially the guaranteed SLA we put on this is that 99.9% of tasks that you give us will commence running within 30 minutes of when you tell us to. So essentially we put them in a queue and we kick them off as quickly as we can, and 30 minutes is the guarantee. Typically speaking, and you'll see within the demos that I'm about to kick off, we'll run these within a minute or so is where we sort of end up most of the time. But again, because slides suck and demos rule, let's flip over and start going through a few of these demos, and I'll show you how we can take some of these concepts and do some things with them. So let me just kill a couple of things before I switch over. All right. Cool. So here we are in the Azure portal, and what I'm going to take you through first is just how we could actually set up an Azure Automation tenant. So the automation icon, we've got our little cogs over here, shows me a list of my automation accounts that I've got created already. Alternatively, I could just hit the plus button and we'll come through here. I'll search automation. There we are, automation and create. So it only needs a couple of pieces of information. Ryan's demo. And put it into a new resource group. So I can choose which location I'd like it to run in, so I'm just going to leave it as Southeast Asia because it's the closest to where we are. One of the other questions it asks us here is, do I want to create a run-as account in my Azure Active Directory? So one of the important concepts of when we're running PowerShell scripts is that we need them to have an identity of a credential in my my domain, so that if I need to get access to resources, it's got an identity that I can give permissions to. So you can manually set these up, but because it's got a few moving parts as far as that process, we've added an option here to do that for you automatically. So I'm just going to leave that as a yes. So we're going to click and create that. So typically speaking, these are pretty quick to create because there's not actually a lot that we need to set up here. So deployment started. So hopefully within a second or two here, we'll see that one turn up and we can go and do some stuff with it. So if I come back into here, excellent, Brian's demo, already there. Okay, so, yep, deployment succeeded. Cool. So here's my automation tenant. So let's say I want to take that script that Mark had and I want to put it into this automation tenant and set it up so that we can run it every night and keep my users in sync. One of the first things I need to do is I need to import that MS Online module into this automation tenant so I can use the PowerShell commands like the set MSOL user and those kinds of things. So if I come into my modules section, and my run-as account was created. So you can see here's a list of modules that we give you out of the box. A bunch of some of these URM modules are there automatically, but you can include PowerShell modules from anywhere. So if I say I want to add a new module, first of all, it asks me, okay, I could just upload one. So modules are just folders with PowerShell files in them. I could zip it up and upload it. So if I've got my own custom logic, for example, that's an option for me to be able to go and do. One of the easier ways, though, is I can actually choose to browse the gallery. Show of hands, how many people have heard about the PowerShell gallery? Few people. So the PowerShell Gallery is an online repository of PowerShell modules that can be contributed to by anyone. If you've got a cool PowerShell module that you think's worth sharing with the world, you can go to powershellgallery.com, upload it there, and then have people very easily be able to download your modules and include them in places like Azure Automation. So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to search for MS Online. Oop. MS Online, and I'm going to import that one. So what's happening at this point after I click OK is it's going through and it's pulling that down from the PowerShell gallery. Now, important to know, given the PowerShell gallery is something that's open for anyone to contribute to, we publish, you know, the name of the author, the number of downloads, and those kinds of things. So there's an element of you need to trust the modules that you're bringing in here, so be aware of where they're coming from, who the authors are, and that kind of thing. But all the information is there in the metadata for you. So what automation is doing for me right now is it's extracting that module, determining which PowerShell commandlets are within it, so and setting it up so that I can go and use it in my runbooks. I'm going to let that go for just a second. It usually happens in just a minute or two. Now, the next thing I need to set up is a credential. So we saw as Mark wrote that script, he was referring to an automation credential so that we can authenticate against Office 365. So we need a mechanism to be able to securely store those credentials, and automation provides that to us. So if I come into here, into credentials, and I'm going to add a new credential, I'm going to give it a name, in this case, MID272526. The username is going to be admin@MID272526.onmicrosoft.com, and my super secret password, and create. So what's happening here is it's taking that credential and it's going to encrypt it and store it in that tenant for me. Now, what this means is that anyone who wants to write a runbook can actually refer to that credential without ever actually seeing what the username and password is. So as I set up this tenant, I could then give access to an IT department, for example, who to go and create these scripts, but without giving them the password that is the keys to the kingdom, essentially. So it allows me to obscure that from the process a little. So hopefully at this point, my module has been uploaded, I've got my credentials set up. I'm now ready to take that script and put it into a runbook. So I'm going to go into my runbooks, and you can see when you create an automation tenant, you get a few example ones to go and have a look at, but they're kind of boring, so let's move on to something specific here. I'm going to create a new runbook, and we'll call it Demo 1, and it's a PowerShell runbook. And it's a couple of seconds later. Here's my runbook. And it's automatically taken me directly into the editing pane. So this is literally just a PowerShell window that I could go and type, get something, do whatever kind of PowerShell I want. It's just a web-based text editor. Now, in this case, what I'm going to do is flick over and in true, here's my prepared earlier style. Here's the script that, that Mark used in his little example there. So we're going to paste that in, save it, and in this case I'll publish it. So I have the ability to keep a published version and a draft version of each runbook, so if I'm testing, making some changes, I won't actually impact any of the published ones that are running on schedules and things like that. So at this point I've now saved it, it's ready to run, and I can just click start if I wanted to run this one right now. So what it pops up with here after I submit this to run is it gives me the metadata about this particular job. So I can see demo one and then the date and time that this job was submitted. In the main window there, I have the job ID and details about what it's doing. It's currently in the queue. That'll switch over in a moment. And if I need to, I can come over to the output window, and you can see right now it hasn't actually output anything. We'll come back to that in a second while that's running, and I'll show you the output. But while it's doing that, one of the things we can do to make this a little bit more useful so I can not have to think about it is I can come in and create schedules. So I can come into schedules and add a schedule. Alright, so what the scheduling works here is it's not per runbook. I can essentially create a one schedule and apply multiple runbooks to that schedule. So I might call it weekly maintenance scripts or nightly maintenance scripts and then apply multiple runbooks to that. So let's create one here. We'll call it nightly maintenance, and it's going to start from tonight at, 12:45 a.m., that'll do, and we'll leave it on Brisbane time. I can tell it to be recurring, and so we want to recur every one day. I might want to set an expiration, I might not. In this case, we'll leave it. Yeah, I've got to set for this morning, of course I do. I think I've never rehearsed this demo before. So what we're doing now is we've got that schedule set up, and it's now attached to our runbook. So it means that at 12:45 a.m. tomorrow morning, it will go and automatically run this again. Now, what I can do with these scripts, if I need to get a history of what they've been doing and see what the, what's been going on, is when I'm back on my runbook screen here, if I click on the jobs button, it'll actually show me a list of every time this has run. So I've got a full history of it. So every night, a new item will be added here. So you can see, here's one run that was completed. It's the one I started a couple of minutes ago. The job ID is there, and I can go to the output. And in this case, because Mark kindly reset all the user licenses while I was talking, you can see it actually went back through and did that relicensing of all of those users. So I've got that history and of output on each individual run. So if somebody calls the help desk the next morning and says, oh, hey, I'm missing my license, the help desk could come in here and say, okay, well, was your license added or removed in last night's maintenance task? So we've got that kind of history to be able to work with there. Now, schedules are only one of the ways that we can call automation runbooks to put things onto a schedule. One of the other things we can do with it, and I want to sort of connect this to a few other ideas for how you can use this in a wider process, is through a technology called webhooks, or a concept called webhooks. Anyone familiar with what webhooks are? Not many. So essentially what a webhook is think of that runbook as having a listener attached to it that just listens for a basic web request to be made. When that request gets made, the runbook will say, oh, thank you, I've received that request, I'm going to start now. So it's an on-demand trigger, but the concept of webhooks is a very open standard across a lot of technologies on the web. A number of different websites use webhooks as mechanisms to allow triggers of information to and from each of their websites in a very open and standard way. There's no very customized specific APIs, it's just HTTP calls. So this makes it very easy for us to want to go and integrate kicking off these workbooks into different processes and different activities. So, so for example, let's take a little bit of a different approach to this. I'm going to show you a runbook that I had set up earlier. Based on the same kind of thing as what Mark was showing, I've got a runbook that if I come in here and view, actually that is kind of hard to read because it's dark. Let me just hit edit instead. Oh, that's awesome. Let's go back in here, edit. Essentially, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to go and assign a specific license to a specific user as an ad hoc activity. Now, let's pretend for a moment that Mark's script doesn't exist in this particular world because it breaks my demo concept, but yeah, bear with me. So you can see what I'm doing here is I'm doing the same kinds of things. I'm getting my credential, I'm connecting to the Microsoft service, and then I'm going and setting a user license, the same types of commands. But some of the wrappers I've got around here is I'm actually receiving what we're calling webhook data. So this is details about that HTTP request that got made to say, hey, I want you to go and run this workbook. So what I can do here is I can receive details like what's the alias of the user that you want to change and what's the license that you'd like to attach to it. This means that I can centrally control the logic behind how we have a license get issued. You know, how I want to log it, how I want to maintain governance over that. But I can provide details about that webhook to in-house developers or partners who are working with us to manage this sort of activity in a very open standard way. So we do things like looking at the webhook data name, we can look at the user alias that was received, we can look at the license property that was received and go and trigger that in a number of different ways. So the first way that I want to show you that we can do this is actually just through PowerShell. So what I've got here is I've got a script, and I'll zoom in on it a little bit here, that is designed to call one of these webhooks. Now, the first thing we've got here is the URL of that webhook. What I might do first is actually show you where that comes from when we set our webhooks up. So I've already got a webhook set up on this one, but we'll come through and we'll add another one. So let's create a new webhook. Demo hook. We give it a, is it enabled, yes or no? We can set expiration on these. Now, important to know this from a security standpoint with webhooks. It is critical that you keep these URLs private because if the URL is compromised, anyone with that URL can then go and trigger your runbook. So for that reason, once and you can actually see we give you a warning up the top here. If you don't copy this URL now, you will never see it again. There is no way to retrieve it once you've initially created it. So treat it for all intents and purposes like a password of sorts. Also, from a security practices point of view, we set expiration on webhook URLs. So it's a good idea to roll them over at a regular interval based on what your security requirements are to make sure that they're continually changing and aren't likely to be compromised. So we'll set that up. We default to a 12-month expiration. And the other thing it wants to know when I set up my webhook is what are the parameters. So in this case, my runbook only has one parameter. It's an optional parameter of webhook data. Now, if it was a mandatory parameter, I couldn't actually set up the webhook. It's a current limitation of Azure Automation in that if there's a mandatory parameter, you can't put a webhook in there without manually typing it in here. And that there for me takes away some of the ability to be dynamic about how I call this. So in this case, I don't actually want to put any webhook data in there to begin with. I'm gonna have that submit when I run my workflow. And create. And I didn't copy the URL. I don't particularly need it in this example, but you can see that that webhook is there and hasn't been triggered yet. You know, the last time this one was triggered was yesterday. So what I'm going to do from here, now that I've got my webhook URL, is I might have a PowerShell script that someone on the help desk is going to use to just run off and assign a user license. So what I'm doing here is I have my URL. I have a hash table of just some headers, some additional data that I want to submit with this request. I have my details as another hash table, so alias and license. So you'll recognize this SKU from the previous example. This is the E3 license for that particular tenant. And I want to modify Jeff H, so Jeff's account, to make sure that he has this particular object. I convert this across to JSON, because JSON is the language we speak when submitting through webhooks. It's an open standard across the web. But essentially, all I'm doing is using invoke REST method to make a web request, because that's all the webhook is, to go and trigger that runbook at the back end. So what now? What we're going to do just to validate that, that Jeff does or doesn't have a license, let's have a look at get MSOL user. Actually, I've probably got this typed up here. To make sure that if Jeff is licensed, we might just pull that out. Okay, so he is. So we need to come back through here to set and remove that. Okay, so Jeff is currently not licensed. So when I run this script, F5, so I'm just using Visual Studio Code here instead of PowerShell ISE. It's a personal preference. I like dark things. And you can see it's come back very quickly here, and it says it's run with this particular job ID. So all we're doing here is we're sending the request off to say start this runbook. I'm not waiting for it to finish. It could spend some time in the queue. I don't know what's going on there. So I'm just going to wait, hang about, see what comes back. But I've got the ID of the job if I need to go and look at that up. So if I go back into the portal here and go into jobs on that particular one, what we should see is it's running as we speak. But that job ID, so E466, matches up with what came back here. So it told me the ID of the job that it started. And if I flick over to the output, cool, we can see request received via the webhook, and the details on the header were in there just to prove that I've received some of that information. And all going according to plan, within a couple of seconds, I should see another line that says we've gone and assigned that license to Jeff. This is coming out in real time, yes, so it's receiving it directly from that stream. Any second now. There we go, cool. So adding license Enterprise Premium to Jeff, and the runbook is now complete. So if we pop my PowerShell window back out and do that again, we can see Jeff is again licensed. So let's just reset that before we move on to the next one. So calling from PowerShell, you know, it's a fairly basic thing that requires somebody to go and run a script to run another script. It's an option. But say, for example, I wanted to go and integrate it into another system. So a number of on-premises help desk ticket systems, for example, have the ability to integrate into webhooks, or you could build your own custom ones. So in my next example, what I've got is a website built on ASP.NET Core that literally is just a really basic user interface to go and trigger the same thing. So I'm just letting that start to run, but I won't go into the code too deeply, but for anyone who's into C#, again, you can see I'm doing the same thing. I create a web request, put my headers on, add my JSON data of the alias and license, and then go and trigger it. It's exactly the same model as I would have used otherwise. So what I should hopefully have open any second now. That's awesome. Just restart that quickly. works better. Excellent. So, again, I could have a very basic little app put together here where I could enter an alias, and in this case, I've given myself a little, you know, choice field of which particular license do I want to assign to him, and submit, and it'll come back and tell me that here's the ID of the job that I've gone and triggered. So this is another idea of a way that you could work webhooks into existing processes. Again, go and have a look if you've got existing tooling that you use for managing incidents and things like that. If you want to add activities to an incident such as run this workbook, integrating through webhooks is a very common standard way of going about this. So C7 something, something, something. Refresh. Or did it run already? C7, yeah, run already. So it was a little bit too quick for me because at this point I can see that, once again, Jeff is licensed. So let's go and remove that one again. Now, the last one I wanted to show you is an example of how we can integrate it into Microsoft Flow. Anyone heard of Microsoft Flow? Cool. So it's a very easy way to be able to build a business process out. But what I want to do is I want to include Azure automation into what I'm doing here as providing a very easy way to trigger a runbook, but maybe trigger it from somewhere like my phone. So I'm going to flick over now real quick to Microsoft Flow, and I'm going to show you how easy it is to integrate webhooks into a process like this to go along with your runbooks. So there's one I prepared earlier, but let's create a blank one. Now, in this case, I'm going to start it with the Flow button. So this is essentially a way to use the mobile app to go in and trigger something. I want text input of user alias. Oops. And after I've triggered that, we can go through and add next steps. So in this case, I want to add a HTTP action. So this is essentially how we say, I want to make a web request. So in this case, to trigger my webhook, it's a post request. Here's my URL, because trying to type that would suck. I'm not going to bother with the headers on this one, but again, we set up the same alias with the same body, but in this case, what I want to do is for the alias, I would like to insert a value that, if I go, sorry, dynamic content, where is user alias? Right, so I've dynamically taken the value that one of my help desk engineers who's on call might have entered from their phone and add that in there. So now it goes and makes that web request for me. Now, what I might want to do is provide some feedback to the user. Did that runbook start successfully or did it fail? So what we'll do here is we'll say if the status code from the web request is equal to, and we're going to say 202, so a HTTP 202 is the code for accepted, as in I've accepted the request, and that's what Azure Automation sends back out. If it's accepted, let's go and add an action. Sorry, hide that. Down here, of a push notification back to my user to tell them your runbook has started. And I won't bother with any other data on that. And if the answer was no, let's send a push notification that says, sad face, no runbook for you. And that's it. So I've now built up this flow that is going to enable someone to very easily trigger my automation runbook from their phone using the Microsoft Flow app. So it's creating that flow for me now. I might just give that a better name, actually. So we'll call this Trigger Runbook Update Flow. Done. Okay, so now that that's it's set up and listening, what I'm going to do is what could possibly go wrong. I'm going to put my personal mobile up on a screen in front of a room full of people. So here, I'm going to go into the Microsoft Flow app on my phone and assume that I am that help desk engineer who needs to be able to go and assign a license to Jeff in a hurry. If I click onto the buttons, I can see I've got the one I prepared earlier as well as Trigger Runbook there ready to go and start. So I'm going to hit Trigger Runbook. And I'm going to enter Jeff H as the alias, and I'm going to hit done. So, all going according to plan, and I'm probably not going to get that notification because I didn't trust any of my friends on Twitter to not spam me when I put my phone on the screen, but there will be a notification that will come back after that runbook starts. But that's how easy it is to go and trigger it out from the phone. So if I come back into here and have a look at jobs, I should be able to see 12:26 a couple of minutes ago. If I come back into flows, it should show me that it was triggered last, yeah, there you go, last modified a minute ago. There you go, failed. What happened? Not found. Okay. That totally worked when I did it earlier. So if that had worked, I'm not going to bother trying to figure out what's wrong with that URL. This is the same URL I had in all the other ones. But it would have gone and triggered that one book for me. So we made it through most of the way with only one demo fail. I'll take that one on the chin. But so that gives me ways that I could then go and look at how Azure Automation can let me take my management of my Office 365 tenant and integrate it into other tools and processes to make it easier to use. Right, so that was more what I wanted to get across here, is that automation is a really great platform, but it lets you hook into all sorts of other places. So take those ideas on board and take them away with you to see how you can go from more than just a script that's going to help, you know, do things on a schedule, through to something that's a little bit more interactive with very little effort involved to be able to have that interactivity tied into your tools and your processes. All right.
All right, so in summary, we've taken you through quite a bit today. I know it's a lot to digest before lunch.
Pun.
That only just came to me right then, would you believe? So we've taken you through how to establish a PowerShell script that you could convert into automation. I think everyone in this audience is more than capable of doing that.
Absolutely.
We've shown you how to take that script and actually put it in automation itself. And again, it couldn't be easier, right? You know, is it easier than you thought it would be? Any hands?
Yeah,
it's really easy to do. And lastly, we showed you how to hook it up to Microsoft Flow. I'm not a developer, but I understood what happened there. So I like to think that I'd be able to go and do that fairly easily.
I'll give you that, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a really easy way to get some quick wins inside your office. If you've got help desk stuff, it's an easy way to automate process to them that they might otherwise screw up. I didn't say that. And lastly, I think we've given you something that you can take away and use for yourself. So I think on the next slide we've got, there we go. If you want to take any of the scripts from today, they're all up on this GitHub address. Of course, the slides are going to be downloadable, but just in case, there's the address ready to go.
Yep.
If you want to get started with Office 365 PowerShell, you can do that by going to powershell.office.com. And if you want to get started with Azure Automation, go to azure.microsoft.com/whatever/services/automation. Now remember, you get 500 minutes per month free.
For free, on each automation tenant.
Yeah, you might as well go give it a blast. So thank you very much for your time, and if anyone has any questions, we're more than happy to answer them.
Cool. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, one thing before you go, a quick plug. I've got a session tomorrow in here after lunch. It's on Azure Active Directory Connect. I'm going to be talking about all the new stuff that's come out, the really new stuff, so please, we'd love to see you then. Otherwise, questions?